Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have talked to area people who are fighting COVID-19, recovering from COVID-19. We have talked about how Northeastern and Central Pennsylvania always reaches out to help any way we can. On the line with us right now is Shadow Daniels. He is a physician's assistant certified with Commonwealth Health. He worked at Wayne Memorial Hospital, studied at Marywood University, graduate of Honesdale High School, Honesdale native, and now you are right in the height of it. Shadow, where are you? Where in New York City are you, sir?
Oh, hey, guys. So, yeah, I'm I was lucky enough to score a day off today, but I'm actually at the New Yorker Hotel on the 20th floor taking a look at the skyline right now. We're listening to you guys out there.
Why did you volunteer to go? I mean, you've been working here, and you decided that you're going to go right into the front line there.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I talked about this with everybody, And to be honest, these guys out here have been getting their butt kicked left and right. I mean, the staff out here is amazing, but I can't imagine what it would have been like doing this without help. I mean, you know, the first day I came out, I've been day here. This is day 15 for me. And it was unbelievable the first day. And they told me it's been consistent like this every day since it started. And it has gotten much better now that we have a lot of staff out here and everybody's kind of picking up the torch and coming to the call to arms. But really, I mean, it's coming. I mean, you guys hear it all the time that there's cases all over Northeast Pennsylvania, California, everywhere. It's not just going to be here. So being on the front lines and being able to, you know, learn how to do it and take care of people and on a disease that we have no idea really what's going on, to be honest with you. It puts it in perspective and gives me the ability to take care of people better back at home.
Now, can you kind of give us an idea of what your day is like? I imagine that you're probably working with some of the most difficult cases, some of the ones that are possibly headed to ICU. What is your day and your duty like?
So I am I'm actually at Elmhurst Hospital, so I'm at pretty much ground zero. I am the lead physician assistant for our group here for crucial staffing. That's what I'm deployed with. It's a disaster group. And I'm every day, I do 12 hours, 7A to 7P, and I am in the main COVID unit. So typically what we do is our bus leaves around 6:15, 6:30 in the morning from here, the hotel in New York or in Manhattan. We take a ride over there to get our sign out for any patients that are really crumping or getting severe. And then, you know, we act like normal PAs and normal NPs or in RNs or any of the staff that's here, and we get to work and take care of patients. The amount of people that are here that are in the hospital, we try to really triage them and get them out if they're able to be discharged right away, you know, because there are people that come in and it's scary, and they're able to be, it's a mild case, just like the statistics say that some people aren't as sick, but then there's a lot of people that are sick, and this is a disease that it doesn't matter the age. I'm treating people that are 19 years old all the way up to 90 years old, and they're coming in very sick. And when that happens and we take care of them, and if they're not able to do well in the room that we're in, then we transfer them to the ICU and you know, escalate from there.
Now, you're at Queens Hospital. Queens Hospital has been on several of the news shows. I believe I saw a little bit of footage from them the first week of this on 60 Minutes. And that's almost, like you said, ground zero. Are you seeing any let up? I mean, the numbers in New York are slightly better, but you know, the governor is cautioning everybody not to get too happy too fast. That, you know, one or two days is not a trend make.
Right. So, you know, I'll be honest with you and tell you, the past 2 days have been, I hate to say it, the Q word, and anyone in healthcare would understand what I'm saying when I say quiet, but we call it the Q word because that's a nasty word to say when you're on shift. But it has calmed down a little bit. Now, that being said, we do not test outside in the tents on the weekends. Again, I was lucky enough to take off on a manic Monday, which everyone in ER knows that usually Mondays are the worst because everyone wants to stay home on their weekends. So today has probably gotten a little bit worse. I haven't heard specifically from my crews that are out there right now, but even I can tell you from last week on Monday, it got much worse than it did again. But I will say the acuity or the severity of the disease that we're seeing that are coming in is much more in comparison to what I was seeing when I about 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. I would say the amount has maybe decreased, but I would say the quality has increased in meaning severity of people coming in. But then again, you know, this is supposed to be the week at peaks up here. So, you know, I really don't have the answer for you if it's going to be done yet. We're going to see what it'll be like at the end of this week, I guess.
And that goes to my next question. If the numbers are a little down a little bit, but the severity is increased, do you have all the equipment? Because we see Governor Cuomo every day on television talking about they keep trying to get more ventilators, more equipment, more gowns, more masks. Is the equipment shortage hindering the care?
And Shadow, before you answer that, there was also something that said that you had to be like MacGyver and make up your own stuff.
Yeah, you're correct. So first off, I'll respond to the gown question. So, yeah, the PPE question with the N95s and everything. And first, before I even do that, I'll take a plug and say this to anybody who's listening. Do not waste N95s. If you are not taking care of patients, not in the healthcare field, not doing aerosol procedures, doing albuterol treatments or BiPAPing or intubating patients. And if you don't know what that means, you shouldn't be using an N95. CDC guidelines says we should be using surgical masks when we run around. Now, I recommend that everybody, you know, wears a surgical mask when they're out and about, which is fine. That's good. It keeps you, there's asymptomatic carriers. And if you don't know you're sick and you're going to the grocery store because you need some milk or whatever, you should be wearing one. But these N95s, this is what's protecting us. And there is a shortage. I'll be honest with you, Elmer's, they are the center here, and they have been fantastic with us. Every ER provider, every ER nurse has been issued an N95 every day. Now, I'll be honest, I would love to have a new mask every time, but if you've probably seen on any of my social media posts, I actually brought my own mask. I use a 3M respirator because I prepared. I didn't know what I was going to be, and of course, just like any mainstream media, we hear that we don't know if the PPE is going to be there, but we've been guaranteed that PPE is going to be for us. So I've had PPE every day. There has been not an issue for me. But in response about the ventilators, it's hard for me to say because I'm in the main COVID unit. So my job is mainly when they come in, if they're not seriously severe, treat and kind of treat them, and meaning take care of them right away. And then if we're able to get them out and manage them outpatient-wise, we do that. And if they're not, we kind of hold them in the unit we're at, and we manage them with just oxygen. And this is a disease that I've noticed that it's probably one of the only ones that I've seen that actually works really well with oxygen. Now, that does not a treatment. It's just on the side of saying that it becomes baseline. So, like, me and you were walking around with no oxygen on. These patients might be okay and have a fever and a cough, but for some reason they need to have supplemental oxygen on, whether it's a nasal cannula, and I'm sure you've seen people walk around the streets with those little tube that goes over your ears and and in your nose. That's a nasal cannula. It gives low-flow oxygen, but then we give a thing called high-flow oxygen through a mask called a non-rebreather mask. And I'm sure everyone has seen that. It's the mask that goes over the face, has a little bag that's underneath it. Well, around Friday, we actually got told that we were running out of supply of non-rebreather masks. And again, I told you the acuity is going up. So the acuity is more severe. So we're using more of these supplies. And again, if we're not able to manage their oxygen status, patients continue to deteriorate. And then they move into, you know, BiPAP or ventilation through endotracheal intubation. Which is on the ventilator then, and we don't want to do that because that's just a worse off for a patient. So if we can manage these on supplemental O2, it's better. But with these non-rebreather masks, we got told we were running out. So I came on day shift, and I was notified by some of our staff that were overnights, because we do days and nights, that they tried to make a mask. And you might have seen it online. It wasn't the one I made, but if you look at some of the pictures, one of the one I had, the first, I would say probably version 1.0, was the one that had two gloves on the side of it. Now, that was the original one they made, and the if any gas goes into the path of least resistance, so unless this mask is seriously secured to the face, they're not going to inflate. And they worked for a period of time, but they didn't work completely. So I had a neurologist resident come up to me, which I've been working closely with, because everybody's on deck here. In this COVID room, I'm working with an ophthalmologist, a neurologist. The past 2 days, I had a podiatrist that I've been working with. So everybody's coming in to do this. And, you know, they were coming to me because I'm an ER provider. I've been doing ER for a little while. So they were like, how do you think we could figure this out? So I stared at a patient and looked at a non-rebreather, and I said, this isn't going to work what we have here. We need to fix it. So I went over to a box and I grabbed a Venturi mask, which is a mask that just has a connection piece and two holes on it. And then I grabbed a nebulizer kit, which is some kit that we used to give medications through, let's say if you're having an asthma attack or whatever. It's the same thing as like albuterol or one of those inhalers, but we can give it through, you can inhale it, we can give it to you. So I broke apart those two kits, and I put the pipe on it, which is like from the nebulizer kit. You'll see the picture of the pipe going in, and I grabbed a specimen bag, which is a bag that we put our labs in once we draw blood, and we send that to the lab. And I kind of combined the two of them and used some just medical tape and taped it up, made a little entry hole on the one side for an oxygen delivery tube, and sealed it up, and it inflated. And it worked extremely well. And then ophthalmologist says, hey, you know, the big thing about the non-rebreathers is why it's called a non-rebreather. You know, when we exhale, we breathe out CO2. So right. The point of having a valve at the pace of it is so we don't re-breathe our air that we
have. The bad air, yeah.
You are MacGyver.
You are MacGyver, exactly.
So the ophthalmologist came with me and we worked on it. And he figured out they work on little things like eyes. So he got the little details and was able to figure out a really sweet way to do a little bit of flapper valve. And he put the valve in and then we were like, wow, this looks really good. Now, if you look at the first pictures, they didn't look the greatest, but they inflated. And we had a patient that was doing very badly, and it was desatting, and his oxygen saturation, which is the number we watch, and it's really the number of that we watch that says the oxygen status in the blood. There's a number we have to watch, and he was down in the low 80s. That's pretty bad for this. And so we put him on the non-rebreather mask, and we stood there. We were quiet and watched and watched and watched, and his numbers started coming up, and he popped in a normal way, and then he started regaining a little bit of consciousness and doing some things better, and they were working.
That's incredible.
That's amazing that you guys come from all different medical professions, but yet you work as one.
I'll be honest,
the camaraderie and stuff is incredible.
One of the nurse practitioners on my staff that I work with directly, that's been here since day one with us, she's a manager of multiple she's a nurse practitioner, and she did labor and delivery before, and then she was a manager of I think multiple statewide dermatology clinics. So she's been out of care for a long time, and she jumped in this running just like everybody else. And like you said there's multiple disciplines here, and we're all on deck trying to figure it out.
Shadow, you know? We have a message for you. Tell him that his family and friends are extremely proud of him and pray for his safe return. And people are saying that, you know, there's 35 cases now in Wayne County. Wayne Memorial now says they have several patients in isolation on the third floor. You're gonna come back at some point with so much knowledge and so much information that you're gonna be so valuable to Pennsylvania and this area. With that being said, do you know how long you're gonna be in New York and when you'll come back? And is your family back in Honesdale kind of concerned about what you're doing?
Well, everybody's concerned, like you just said. Everyone's praying for me and praying for us here. But again, I'm going to come back. I don't know what time I'm going to come back. There's been discussion with my family as well when I'll be back. I don't really have a contract. It's more of an at-will thing. Again, the group I'm with is a disaster deployment group. It's not a locums group. So we can really leave at any time. But again, you know, the state mandates, we have that 14-day quarantine because, you know, we could be an asymptomatic carrier like anybody else. Mm-hmm. But my 21 days is done this Sunday coming up. So I could technically leave and fulfilled everything that I promised. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. It kind of feels, last night I hit a wall. I was telling my family that I was extremely exhausted last night, but I was able to get to bed and I slept till about 10 o'clock this morning and I felt like I was reborn.
Are you working 12s or 18s or what are you working?
12-hour shifts every day.
Yeah, 12-hour shifts every day.
A week.
Shadow, how?
So I've been working straight for the past 14 days. So today we were able to get a day off after day 14 and then a day off after 21. And I mind you, the group that I'm with, at the end of this week, they should have about 4,800 employees in Scranton. Now that's, or not Scranton, in New York City. And that's between physician assistants, nurse practitioners, RNs. They're hiring for EMTs and paramedics, and they're hiring LPNs, and they're hiring respiratory therapists. And they just recently deployed in New Orleans. So, anybody out there that is involved in any of those professions, get them on Facebook. They're called Crucial Staffing with a K, and you can join the group. And again, I don't work for them. I'm just a contracted guy that they've been doing fantastic with me, and it's real, and the need is there. And again, like I said, we're the front lines. We're going to get exposed to it, whether it's here or there. And to be completely honest, I'd rather come home and know what I'm doing and be able to save a lot of people.
How has this changed you? How has this changed you personally?
I mean, I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of things in my career. I was in public safety for a long time. I was in EMS for 13 years. I was a fireman in Honesdale locally for a long time at Texas 4 up in Honesdale. So I've seen a lot of deaths, a lot of destruction and things. But the thing that hits home with me is there's so many patients here and you see fear. The patients can see, because we're boarding patients. There's so many patients. We're keeping patients in the ER for so long that they're sitting there and they've gotten used to the person that's sitting next to them. And mind you, it's a very huge, it's a highly Hispanic neighborhood and also some Mandarin-speaking people. So I would probably say 80% of the patients are have that language barrier, and I have to use a language line to discuss with them the case. So they're really like relying on the people they're sitting next to. And, they're sitting next to these people that's there for 36, 40 hours. Sometimes they don't even have a bed and they're just sitting in a folding metal chair that you would have at school. And they all of a sudden start seeing them get worse and tiring out. And they get worse and we escalate them and then we ship them out of the room and they go with them and they never come back. And they go to the other room and escalate. And then that person that's in the room stays there and doesn't see them. So then they consistently, we're getting every day, I'm scared. I'm scared. And I can't imagine the fear that these people are experiencing. And again, and I want to stress to everybody that's listening to this, this is real. This is not fake. I do not want anyone to sit here and say that the government is trying to screw us over with the economy or any of this. This is a real deal thing. This is not the flu. People are dying. And this is really the front lines. And you need to all listen to social distancing and washing your hands and wearing your masks and saving that stuff for people that needs it, because this is serious. This is not a fake disease.
Shadow, all I can say is God bless you. You make all of us proud.
Proud, absolutely.
And anything we can do to help you, you just reach out to us, and God bless you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm here. I'm enjoying myself. I'm learning. I'm a nerd at heart, so this is where I'm at home, and I like taking care of people and doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but you didn't have to go. You volunteered to go, and now you're in the middle of probably the greatest disaster any of us will know in our lifetimes.
Thank you for what you do.
I don't look at it as that way. I just look at it as it's a call to arms. And like I said, I've been in public safety for a long time and I just felt like there was something I could do. Yeah. I'll be honest. We're compensated well. I mean, I'm not going to tell you we're not. I mean, I'm not doing this for free, but at the same time, there is a risk. And again, I don't want to say that I'm anything special, because the people that really are the ones that got their butt kicks are the ones that are at these hospitals that have been here since the beginning. And they're the ones that deserve the high five and the handshake, because as you can see on the internet, New York City Fire Department came to us the other day and was standing up and clapping. And, and the community up here is so outrageously thankful, and they're putting signs up and everywhere. So, but really it's just, they're the people that really need to be thanked because they've been dealing with it since the beginning. And if I leave in 21 days, they're still going to be up here doing it.
Good point.
It's their home field. You know what I mean? I can take this home and hopefully in Wayne County, Scranton, all those areas, we don't deal with it as bad as they are. I mean, I know Monroe County and I have friends that are working in Lehigh Valley. They're getting their butts kicked as well. But the area needs to prepare because it's coming.
Shadow, go get some rest. I hope we talk to you again, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. God bless you. Wow.
What do you say after that?
I don't know. That's another wow moment for us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.